So a couple other questions related to this. What do we know about PD-1 levels and benefit from durvalumab as consolidation? Is it something that a clinician should look at all? And what about the patient with a targetable mutation, such as EGFR and ALK with locally advanced disease?
I tell you, the Durva data to me have been disappointing when it comes to expression. First of all, the cutoff for the Durva studies by and large has been 25%. And if you look at the various subsets across studies that have been published, it's a little bit all over the map. Even the Durva-Tremi data are a little bit all over the map in that you don't see the stair-step approach where the higher expression, it's convincing that you benefit. In fact, you see a little bit of everything where no expression, 25% expression, 100% expression seems to be associated with the same efficacy outcomes. So for me, Durva and PD-L1 expression don't go together. I don't think that's a tool to help me decide how to use Durva. The EGFR story, I think, is a bit mixed. The reason I say it like that is I think if Durva were in IMpower 150 instead of Atezo, probably the results would be the same. We don't have data like that. What we do have, though, are some concerning issues. Jeff Oxnard is leading an early study of Durva with various TKIs. And in that study, I think it's called the TATIN trial, there were some early concerns about mixing that checkpoint inhibitor with some of the TKI-directed therapies. And these are modern TKIs, next generation. And so your question was about should an EGFR patient get Durva? I think that's probably going to be fine. But there are some concerns about should you get these immunotherapeutics with your TKI. And the only data we've seen that look a little more concerning have been with Durva.
In general, are you putting patients with targetable mutations on Durva consolidation after chemoradiation?
Well, so if I had a patient with stage 3 cancer with an EGFR mutation, I'm not giving them a TKI. I give them chemo RT followed by Durva. So yes, that's what I do. I was recently in a meeting, though, with two colleagues who said they won't do that. They said that that patient, they don't think should get Durva. You know, we can get down into this debate, but I don't feel that way. I think Pacific is Pacific, and it took everybody, you know, it took patients, gave them standard of care therapy for stage 3 disease, and gave them immunotherapy. I don't think because you have an EGFR mutation, you should veer from concurrent chemo RT, and in this case, adjuvant immunotherapy, unless you're just a big believer that none of that stuff makes sense and they should only get a TKI like you get for stage 4 disease. I don't think that's ready for prime time.
I got to say, you know, we've asked, we've polled, we do surveys all the time of investigators, and up to what you just said with these two people, we were getting pretty straightforward responses. The trial included them, I'm treating them, you know, so.
Yeah, they got a little bit of pushback. It was a friendly kind of round table, and I think there were like 12 of us, and so I think the other 10 kind of ganged up a little bit on them. But, you know, look, I see where they're coming from. They feel a little uncomfortable about the oncogenic-driven tumor settings being not so clear and what to do. I think one of those two said, I would eventually give immunotherapy to a patient with an EGFR mutation way down the road. So I think most people don't think, you know, it has no role. I just think they're more selective about when to use it.